Testing. Hello, everybody. Welcome to BitNote. Hey, everybody. And it's BitNote again with David Collins, where we'll be playing video game music and talking about the game it's from. Hope you enjoy. Have a good one. Okay, everybody, we're doing something a little different for this show because, as you all know, variety is indeed the spice of life. Normally speaking, I will play a bunch of music tracks from a bunch of different video games, but I have actually just this week finished a very good video game that has some excellent music. So, largely because it's a great game and also largely because I'm having trouble coming up with some other tracks from other video games, I think we'll just focus on the music from this game, which is definitely high quality. So rather than talk on and on about the music, let me just start with its intro track. Hope you enjoy. And that beautiful intro track was And Then to Coda. It's from the video game Soleta Robo, Red the Hunter, which was developed by CyberConnect 2. And that specific piece you just heard there was composed by Chikawa Fukuda, also known as Lien, and performed by Tomoyo Mitani. So, what this game is, pretty awesome game, it's called Soleta Robo, Red the Hunter. It's essentially a game released in about 2010 for the Nintendo DS, and it's essentially an action role-playing game, which basically means, sure, you go on an epic quest saving the world, but of course you also actually get to attack the enemies in real time rather than just do that whole turn-based battle where you spend 5 seconds trying to decide whether you attack, use magic, use an item, or get the heck out of there. So you're basically a red fox who is going around in a gigantic robot, and he defeats the enemies by picking them up and throwing them. Yes, it says simplistic, fun, and cartoony, and it is a little. But it's also, as you can see, got awesome music, but also got a bit of heart to it. The worlds you get are pretty damn epic. You see so many different areas of so many different art styles. Everything's bright and colourful, but there's definitely a bit of, but it also has a bit of playful sense of humour, and it's just fun to explore and get a little quest, and there's also a lot of little stuff and a lot of little diversions that keep you interested, and it's also just got some really interesting locations and different aspects that grab you in different ways. I think before going in on the base of Show But Don't Tell, I think I'm going to just play the music tracks to practically my favourite background music to what I think is my favourite area. Part of the game, of course, is you've got a ship and you're flying around to different floating islands, which is what the world is composed of. So every area has its own distinct character. There's like a mining area and another area where fish fly in the sky and another area that's just all these, you know, fungus and bugs fly about the place. But for now, I think there's one level which I think is a little more poignant and has a little more heart than some of the other levels. So have a listen to the track. I really love that track. It so suits the village you're from. Because, like I said, in this game, you're basically this fox on a robot. But it's all in this world that with islands that float. And you're basically a hunter, which basically means you're a freelancer. So you take up quests and go around the place. And on one of your quests, you find the start of a medallion and this strange person. And it starts a great big adventure with all these conspiracies and understanding what the deal is with the world that you're living on. But Basset is one of the worlds that you visit, and it's got this beautiful poignancy to it that I think the level track really gets across. I mean, Basset is basically a junk town, or shanty town even. It's made from discarded battleships, all these huge amount of battleships just thrown on this island and gradually rusting away, and people just try to make a home there. It's through all the rusting and discarded ships, they're like towns and little villages, and people even do this crazy version of fishing there, where they pick up gigantic hermit crabs that use entire battleships as their shell and stuff. It's pretty heady stuff. And there's also the orphanage. But I just love the atmosphere, because you're dealing with the rust of the battleships and on the bright orange of the sunset. and that sound just makes it feel like, you know, it's in a way they're living among the decaying past, but they have a hope for the future, and that they always feel that there's something coming up and there's some poignancy and beauty in what's going on. It also happens to have a nice orphanage on it, and it starts off, the orphanage in the story is a little bit, takes on a bit of a cliched role, and basically the bad guy starts threatening it, and you, in your, as your hero, here's your heroic fox, need to go ahead and stop the bad guy from threatening the orphanage. But after that, it suddenly takes on a more poignant role in talking to the madame of the orphanage and the kids who have so much enthusiasm and energy but get up to no end of trouble. I mean, they're basically on an island that's full of rusting, decaying ships and battleships and gigantic things. And do you really think that the kids are going to stay out of trouble on an island like that? Do you really think they're going to say, oh, let's stick to the safe area, you know? No sense of adventure for me. We're not going to go out in those decaying rusts that are filled with gigantic, that are practically falling apart and with gigantic insects that throw stuff at us. Do you think they're really going to stay safe? No, indeed, they are not. And, of course, that's one of the duties that you end up performing as Red the Hunter. It's trying to save the little kids from the ship and rescue and make sure they're okay. And, of course, it's kind of subtly reminded that your character was exactly like this when you were a kid, but it's kind of one of the things that gives the game it's more of a charm to it in any event. There was one thing that kind of annoyed me, and I don't like going on about annoying things, but I managed to get a version of the game with the soundtrack. I mean, I love it when this happens. A lot of games do have CD soundtracks and everything. And So Last Robot was distributed in America by Xseed Games, which included like a soundtrack along with the actual game itself on CD. And of course, the American version largely works pretty much fine on the European DS. But one, except for the camera or some features I don't really use, I think you have to, whatever. But one thing, as much as I love the soundtrack, it doesn't include Bassett. And it's kind of annoying, but I was willing to forgive them for that. But then I actually look at the CD itself, and it's got this, and the actual CD front has a great big picture of Bassett on it. So a music CD acknowledges Bassett as being one of the brilliant, most emotional levels of the game, but doesn't actually include music from it. Ah well, at least thankfully that's why we have the internet. Great game, though. So anyway. But that's one of the more poignant levels you get. Not all of them are like that. Take, for instance, the very first stage you get onto, Airedale. It is bright, cheerful colour. You know, you've got basic blue sky, you've got alabaster ground and basic whites. You got your own friends and you chat to people you know. And you get upgrades for your robot. And you find it's kind of where your quest in a lot of ways begins. Or at least the first place you go that you really get to stretch your legs. So Airedale has a fun, upbeat theme tune. So have a listen. Talk about Spirit of Adventure on that theme tune. It's It's kind of funny with all the talk of being a role-playing game, you know, setting out for adventure and traveling across all these floating islands. The game slightly reminds me of Skies of Arcadia, which is another game released for the Dreamcast several years earlier that also basically has a bunch of sky pirates also going traveling to different worlds all on floating islands and talking to the people there. Salato Robo is a little more compressed than that. You don't get as much exploration in each individual island, but you still got a lot of fun activities and its own system and everything. Salato Robo isn't really based on Skies of Arcadia as such. It's actually a kind of a spiritual successor to a game that came out in the PlayStation era, i.e. the 90s, called Tail Concerto. And that was a game, I never actually played that game, but apparently you play this character called, this little dog called Waffle, and he's going around in a great big robot trying to oppose the Black Cat Gang. And like I said, never played either of those games, but they actually do end up showing up in Salato Robo. They get some nice little cameos here and there, and you as Red get to talk to them, and they're always inviting you over to the Prairie Kingdom, which I assume is, you know, wherever Tail Concerto is set. So it's kind of fun to tie in with that and just have different characters talking with each other. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen a fair bit in the video games like that. I remember the classic thing in San Andreas where you basically meet the guy who's going to go on to who's going to be on the main character in Grand Theft Auto 3. And essentially you get to also see him and the girlfriend who ends up betraying him at the beginning of Grand Theft Auto 3. So it's always a bit of fun when there's a bit of a connection like that. So the soundtrack on this is beautiful. It's composed, as I said, by Chiakewu Fukuda, and also gets the name of Lien, which is also, you actually hear the name Lien pop up in the game from now and then, especially with their compositions. It's kind of funny. There's a lot of vibrant worlds, and some areas of the game are more metropolis than others, so they've got like their own pop singers and stuff. So Lien turns out to be the guy who ends up boosting another pop singer from the top of the charts, and let's just say you end up having to find out about this in the course of the game and try to bring the news back to the pop singer. But thankfully, there's a whole interruption that prevents you from bringing the news to the pop singer who was deposed. So, drama averted, thankfully. I'll give you another track. I think that this is another beautiful piece of music. I think it's a little more relaxed and emotional, so have a listen. I mean, I just love tracks like this. They're a little more emotional. They kind of mean something, a little more touching than you know, tracks you might get in a lot of other places. If you want some good music, just check out any sort of Japanese role-playing game. I mean, okay, that's a huge stereotype, but Japanese role-playing games are some of the best in music. When they want to make an epic role-playing game, even if for something just for the DS, you know, for the Nintendo DS, a portable console, they go to the full stop. They pull out all the stops, orchestral tracks, great value to composers, the whole thing, to create just some huge, incredible scope of just real big emotion. Or it's not just some, like, you know, rock and roll music, which is good, or some punk or whatever. They want to go for the great big epic score, like some real hard-hitting emotional piece of music. And sometimes they can almost, the motion can seem more emotionally driven than the characters or the storyline itself. It's kind of funny about that, but I mean, there's some good stuff here. CyberConnect 2, and indeed some of the people involved in the music for this game, actually previously worked along with Tale Concerto, of course, because that was like the game's spiritual successor. But in the 15 or so years between that game and this game, they worked a lot on this series for the PlayStation 2 called Dot Hack. I've never actually played Dot Hack, but from what I know, it's this whole kind of like big video game where there's like a video game in a video game. People, a lot of school kids are like playing this MMORPG or MMORPG, and apparently people start disappearing inside it. I don't know the exact details, but it had a lot of sequels. It got a lot of interest, and it even had this anime series, you know, an animated Japanese cartoon that ran alongside it. So there was kind of the whole, you know, thing bouncing back and forth between the cartoon and the game, which is common enough, but still, you know, not exactly hugely common. So it's still kind of fun for stuff like that to be pulled off. But yeah, Salacia Robo is quite a game. Maybe one day I'll play Tale Concerto, and maybe one day I'll play Dot Hack. But for now, it's Salacia Robo, and I just finished it, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, through the game, you meet a lot of fun characters, you talk, they're fun conversations. The main character, Red the Hunter, is also a bit of fun. He's kind of strong-headed and a bit crazy, but he kind of has a heart, and, you know, sometimes it's his, you know, big-headedness that gets him through the situations. And then he's got this friend called Chocolat, and, yes, apparently, by the way, everyone apparently speaks French in this game. Don't worry, you get nice little textual translations, you know, most of it. It's just whatever little voice work there is in the game tends to be in French, so you have people going en avant, and or else you greet someone and they go mais oui. So it's kind of fun. I would not recommend it as a replacement for an actual French lesson, but I think it's still better than not having any French at all. But and of course, like I said, it's got beautiful rendered levels, many different areas, and a nice few plots and intrigue. I think some of the fun stuff of the game was also when it takes a bit of a diversion from the norm. And there's actually, I think, one of my favorite little, there are a lot of side quests you do. So you are going forward and saving the world and talking to people and like trying to stop like ancient summoning things and all these terrible machines from destroying everything. And while you're fighting off against these organizations or people that are going on. But at one stage, I think one of my favorite things is some of the characters you meet. And one of the side quests, it's basically something's been stolen. So essentially one of the person speaks up and says, I'm going to be the detective. So she pulls people in off the street right into a room and tries to do that whole, you know, final confrontation thing from a detective novel. I have to say, maybe not the most effective technique, but it does actually lead to the solution in the end, even though it's a bit of a roundabout ways. So I leave you with the last track called Recoda. If you complete the game, this is the track you're rewarded with, but since we're all about instant gratification here, I'll just give you the track immediately for your listening pleasure. This has been David Collins with BitNote. I have been playing music from the game Salacia Robo, Red the Hunter, developed by CyberConnect 2, with music composed by Chikao Fukuda. Thank you very much for listening to this show and all the music from Red the Hunter. Tune in next week where we'll probably play music from more than one game. Thank you for all the listening and all the best. Hito wa